The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for The Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. It is another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And we are here, as we are every week, to help give you the information, give you the guidance to be able to make the very best decisions you can make, and have informed decisions that best suit your interests, your needs, your goals. Not someone else's, not your neighbor's, not the newscaster's, not the journalist that's making up a story because that's what he gets paid to do, but for what you are specifically trying to accomplish. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I was just thinking about it while you were talking. And I mean, back in the good old days when I first got in the business, the idea was to try and make money. And then you make a little bit and then you realize it's not quite so easy to keep it and keep it growing. So I think that's where individuals have to understand that over time things change and you have to rejig your expectations. Because if you wanted to be as aggressive as, for example, I was back in 2025, I mean, I had massive swings.
2025?
Back in, yeah, when I was 25 years old.
25 years old.
Yeah, and now, you know, over 50, and you're starting to look and go, well, I just can't afford one more of those big drawdowns, you know, right. Whereas back then you had time to recover. And so things change, but you also look back and you go, wow, well, I did well, but it would have been a heck of a lot better if I hadn't given those big chunks back, right? But those things come with learning over the years, and that nice straight chart that people like to throw out there of a nice 8% straight line up, I mean, that would just be fantastic to achieve.
Sure.
It's incredibly, if not difficult, if not impossible to do, and that's what people I just don't think are aware of. You know?
Well, and that's what we were having a conversation with a gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and that was kind of his answer to a question we posed of what are you comfortable with investing? And he said, well, the stock market, because if you look at it over its history, it's just a straight up climb. And yes, that's true. Again, if you're stretching it out over a long enough period of time, if you look at the entire lifespan of the stock market, sure, it's been pretty straight up, but
As soon as
you take a snapshot in certain time periods, there are significantly negative periods of time that, depending on where you are in your life and in your plans, that could be extremely detrimental, if not just outright devastating to what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, that was the whole idea behind dollar cost averaging. And for those listeners of ours who don't understand what that is, that means that if you buy a stock, for example, at 100 and it drops, and let's say doing a monthly allocation, you buy more at 90, more at 80, more at 70, so then let's assume it then goes back to 100 again. Because you've bought those other pieces at a lower, your average cost in, or your dollar cost average in, is say around about 80, 85, so suddenly the whole position is making you money.
Correct.
I mean, that was the whole idea behind dollar cost averaging, was to say, hey, when it's going down, you just keep investing away. Your average price of those stocks will come down. And then when they recover over the long run, you'll make up for the returns. The flaw to that analysis is that some of the stocks never recover. They go to zero.
Right. We talked about that with the indexes. The NASDAQ
Correct.
Index, very few of the stocks that made up the index back in 2000
correct
even exist today.
No. And so going forward the next 100 years, if you did that and you just purchased some of these ETFs, let's say a decent spread of them, like let's say the spiders and maybe, you know, the USO, which is the oil one, and maybe the gold ETF or something like that. So you had a diversified group of these ETFs, and you just dollar cost averaged for the next 100 years. Now, none of us are going to live 100 years, but let's assume you did that.
I am.
Okay, good for you. I actually don't want to be around if you're 140, whatever you will be. But assuming you did live 100 years and you did dollar cost average in that group of ETFs, and assuming they're still around 100 years from now, there's a high probability that they will be a lot higher then than what they are today, for the simple reason that inflation at worst will continue to push them higher, and at best they'll beat inflation and you'll do rather well. Now, obviously, as we've mentioned, we're not going to be here 100 years from now. So you have the problem is, it's what is the length of time between now and when you really need to draw on that portfolio of ETFs or stocks? And for me, it's probably 20, 25 years from now. So that's quite a long window. Mm-hmm. But if you look back 20, 25 years, or let's even look back less, look back 15 years, for example, I'm basically just back to break even.
Sure.
I might be a little bit ahead because of dollar cost averaging, right? Because I would have had two periods back in 2000 when the market capitulated. And then again in 08, if I'd had the money to continue to buy in, I'd probably be slightly ahead.
Right.
But you have to really stick with the game plan. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because that's one of those things where you've stuck with the game plan.
Right.
Come hell or high water, you have stuck with this game plan. And I tell you what, it takes a very brave person with a very strong stomach to turn off all of the doubters who, when he or she is buying the index when it's down at 600 and it's come screaming down from 2000. Right. I mean, that there's not many people that can keep with the program.
Sure.
Most people at that point are bailing. In fact, they're selling out of their positions because there's the panic on the streets.
Right, at that point, and it could be tied to their time horizon. Someone in retirement that's living off of this and expecting growth.
Now you're in trouble,
has now seen a 40 or 50% drop in their life savings. At some point, they just throw their hands in the air and say, I can't take it anymore, and they sell out, and they take that money and move it into something safe, even if it's like in today's rates, into a CD that's paying a fraction of a percent. They at least know that that principal is going to remain there, but then the market turns around and comes back up,
and
that causes, again, devastating results on someone's ability to live their goals out.
Yeah, I mean, you take an example. If you were in the market and it was 2,000, the S&P, and it drops to 600 or 700, it went to 667 or something like that, and you start bailing around about that point in time, and you decided, I'm going all into to fixed rate stuff, right? You're going to go to bonds and things like that. So
well, back then, interest rates were quite a bit higher.
They were.
You could have been okay.
So you probably would have done all right in that, but you would still be, if you were holding to maturity, they were a bit higher, but you're probably still only yielding, what, 4% or 5%, right?
Back then, I know you could get tax-free and 5% to 6%.
Okay, so let's assume 6 then. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Is 6 a good number then?
Sure.
Okay, 6%. So 6% over the next, what we're 2008 to now, so 7 years at 6%, you still haven't made back that 40% haircut you took in the stock market.
Right.
You're not even close. So you are, you snail crawling towards the end game here, but you're not there yet.
Right.
Whereas if you'd stayed in all the way, you would have been there and hopefully better. But there's not many people that can do that. And is your time horizon still intact during that?
Correct. Is it being allowed to look
and
exactly
the same?
And for
most of us, it doesn't.
And that, I think, is one of the big flaws. I understand, and it makes absolute sense. It is time in the market. It's not trying to time it. Yes, you can get lucky every once in a while and guess right, but that's all it is. It's just a guess. When it happens, everyone will justify, oh, see, I knew I could see that happening.
Right.
But how many of these pros on TV called the crash but haven't gotten anything right since? Abby Joseph Cohen, we talk about her periodically.
Yeah, whoever hears of Noriel Robini anymore?
Sure. Other than when they want that counter opinion where they just want the person that's consistently saying the same thing, because even a stop clock is right twice a day.
Correct.
And eventually they're going to be right. Then they'll pat themselves on the back and say, look, see, I told you this was coming.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's what they're trying to market at that point. But so back to what you were saying before to start this conversation off, if you have a game plan and you can stick to it through thick and thin, you will probably be all right. And that's what we're trying to really explain to people on the show. Whereas if you vary from that game plan just because things, the market changes, let's forget about things happening to you because that will change a plan.
Sure.
If something like you have a kid or you get divorced or you get married or, you know, decide to retire or something physically happens to you.
Family member issues come up.
Exactly. So all of those suddenly change your whole outlook and will probably change your portfolio. But outside of that, if you're lucky enough to be able to just stick it all the way through, you normally will be a lot better off than the person who keeps changing. It doesn't have that game plan in place. And that's what we're trying to explain.
It's all about that discipline. And also to really emphasize that point, life happens and gets in the way of even the best laid out plans. And that brings up the importance of reviewing periodically
Correct.
And seeing, okay, what was important last year? Is that still the most important thing or has something come up? Have I had a new child which suddenly changes my priorities? I no longer want to be this jet setter and travel all over all the time. I want to devote more time to my new child, whatever that is. And that really changes the dynamics of what your plan looked like to where it should look like now. And that could make very significant changes to what your plan was a year ago.
Yeah. Well, you meet with your clients, what, 3 times a year, right?
Right.
And so for our listeners out there who have a financial planner, if they're not meeting with you to review, if it's a complete financial plan, which is what you offer, but if you're just giving a salesperson some money and they're dumping it in an ETF and they never hear from them again, don't be surprised. But if you actually have a financial planner and that person isn't contacting you, you know, 2 or 3 times a year to review and go over and explain what's going on, then it's not really a proper, true financial Correct. Analysis. And it's probably not going to be really tailored to you.
Right. Well, stick around. When we come back, we are going to discuss what probably is our most common, the most frequent question we receive. We're going to briefly touch on that and hopefully answer some of these questions that we get on a regular basis. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we started the show off today talking about the importance of making decisions, having a plan, and sticking to it, having the discipline to stick to it, because as soon as you start trying to have the flavor of the month, that's when you're stepping on your own landmines.
Not only that, if fear enters the building, I mean, you and I were just chatting today with a financial planner, and he has a client that's been all in cash for years, it seems
right.
I mean, so that person admitted it's the fear factor that what I could see, and they completely paranoid about everything falling to pieces again. Sure. But unfortunately, they've missed some fantastic opportunities over the last 5 or 6 years. And
absolutely,
that's really cost them, because sure, you're in cash and your money's not going to evaporate. That's great. But it, the stealth problem with inflation is coming in and stealing your money out from underneath
but
you without
no
even
inflation.
Knowing. Well, yeah, exactly. Depends who you speak to.
Just ask the government.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something to always remember in the back of your head, that inflation is stealing your money.
Correct.
Every single day.
And there is, like, you could probably make a pretty solid argument that it makes sense. It could have made sense based on that person's situation to be in cash, but the erosion that's going on because of inflation is eating it up. But I'm just talking in general, and this goes back to the whole timing versus time in
right.
the markets. If you are going to allocate money to the market, you need to understand it's going to go up, it's going to go down, and you're never going to guess right. Occasionally, you might get lucky, but more often than not, when you try to guess, you're going to guess the exact opposite of what happens, and that's going to be very detrimental.
I'm sure someone sits behind me when I'm sitting in my trading chair, and as soon as I hit buy, it goes down.
So.
And as soon as I sell, it goes up. They know. They're watching me.
Oh, yeah. Your computer is bugged. I didn't tell you where I get all my decisions.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, if you want to make money at the horse races, take me along, because I can eliminate at least 3 horses out of every race.
Every race?
The ones I choose.
Perfect.
Yeah. If I go this one's first, second, third, they coming back of the track.
8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, a very common question, and the basis of the majority of our shows come up from questions from you, the listener, asking just some are simple, straightforward questions. Others are more complicated, and if we feel we can build a good show around that question or some piece of it, that's why we're here. That's how we come up with a lot of information that we discuss. But probably the most common one, don't you think, Steve, is how do I get started? We have both people that are getting close to retirement, and then also people that are just fresh out of college, starting off in their career and wanting to, they know that they need to start planning for the future, and they just want to know what they can do. What are the best steps?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, there's like 3 questions that all mean the same thing. The kid coming to you saying, how do I get started? And the elderly people saying, how do I retire, or do I have enough? And those are sort of all 3 the same questions, because most of those people are saying, how do I retire? They haven't started.
Correct.
They thought they had started. They've been working their whole lives. But now that it's coming time for them to actually retire, they're looking around going, what's a portfolio? And I don't have one.
Correct.
And that's the earlier you start, of course, the better. Because there's no magic wand that suddenly provides this lump sum of cash for you. It has to be invested over time to build it up, unless you happen to create the next, number one billboard hit, or you invent the next Google or something in your sleep. But outside of that, it's most people have to just slowly plod away and
Correct.
Slowly get this flywheel moving before they can actually have enough built up to retire. That's why it takes 40, 50 years.
Well, that it really is the poster child for the age-old tortoise versus the hare.
Right.
The tortoise wins because he just plods along, or the hare races off and then takes a nap and stops to grab a bite, and the tortoise
Sounds
just
like
keeps plodding along.
Market.
Correct. But that is the best methodology. And in today's society, it's such a get-rich-quick, instant gratification world that people want to save today and see millions of dollars in their bank account tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to do that, you better be ready to understand that money could all be gone tomorrow just as quick or quicker than it could be worth millions.
Well, it's actually funny you bring that up. I'll tell our listeners a story. So one of our advertisers on our show is Lead Commerce. Mm-hmm. And they really do a hugely good job with order management and that type of software. Anyone who has an internet business that's selling anything should actually call them up and see what they're doing. But the CEO of that business, he's a real go-getter, but he's a younger guy. You know, he's in his mid-30s or so, and out of Oracle. And he's seen all these, you know, internet companies going, and I regularly help them in terms of management expertise and things like that. And he was whining because this month in May, they've only grown 12.5% over last month, which so month over month growth. We're not talking year over year. We're talking sure. growth from last month to this month was only 12%. And I go, you know, annualizing that, that's like 160% because it's compounded one on top of the other, right?
Sure.
And I go, what company is growing at 160? Show me a company growing at 160%. But he's got this theory that we should almost be doubling every month. I'm like, it's impossible to do.
It's a nice theory. It's a nice
concept. Yeah, but the problem is you
just strive for that, though.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring it up is because it's putting that into perspective. People think the same of their portfolios. It's like, oh, well, you know, 8% growth, that's only, I mean, if you add it all up, right, it's like 0.7%. It's a little bit more, a little bit less, actually, 0.6% because you're doing compounding, right, per month. And if you get your statement and you had 100 grand in there, now you've got $100,600, you're going to go, this was a waste of time.
Right.
But that's what you want or need, right? If you saw 110,000 at the end of the month, you'd be going, woohoo. But I can tell you right now, with the risk associated with that return, next month you could have seen 91.
Right.
Whereas the other way, you had 100,000 and $1,200.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to keep seeing that ball moving forward, rolling.
And understand there will be times where it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, and then another period comes up, and all of a sudden it goes a little quicker. Once you get that compounding ball rolling, then that's when you really start seeing the more significant growth.
Yeah, exactly. But you've got to get that ball rolling. I mean, I remember starting one of my companies a while ago, and it is this exact thing that we're talking about. It's set up to slowly grow through returns out of yielding money. So yield really is interest on your money. Mm-hmm. And in the first month, I think I made like $30 or $40, but it's slowly growing over time. And now on a good month, it'll make, you know, $20,000, $30,000. That's 5-6 years later. So it's starting to really just grow on its own.
Right.
But it takes time and you've got to get started. You've got to start by putting some money aside in the bank or in your IRA somewhere.
Right.
And I know we've spent a number of shows talking about getting rid of debt and that because that's instant returns on your money because you don't have to pay that interest. But one thing I do want to tell our listeners is, don't forgo investing in an IRA because you've got debt. You don't have to be debt-free to put an allocation to an IRA. In fact, please don't not do, well, I was going to say don't not, which would be bad English, but do invest in your IRA even if you've got debt because that IRA is protected from taxes and can grow faster than anywhere else because of that.
Tax deferral, not to mention you get a tax deduction depending on the form you use. If it's a straightforward traditional IRA, you get a tax deduction for every penny that goes in there.
Right.
Versus just having a savings account where you're putting money in after you paid the taxes on it.
Correct.
There's no huge benefit other than you're saving money, which there's never a bad thing associated with.
Correct. And
money.
Yeah, which is a good point you bring up because a lot of people are under this false impression that an IRA gets funded on the 14th of April every year because, you know, that's when you have to fund it by. But that's just the deadline.
Right.
All the way through the year, you can fund away your IRA. I mean, you have to know what your maximum contribution is. Sure. But let's assume it's $5,000, right?
And it's $5,500.
Okay. Well, for easy math, let's just say five. Let's say it's $4,800. You're going to finance $4,800, right? So you're going to put... You could put $400 a month because at the end of the year, it's really hard to drop $4,800 in the bank, your IRA. You could do $400 a month and get yourself started.
That's a much smaller piece. It's just you can't eat a whole pizza in one bite, but you can eat it slice by slice.
I've seen people try.
I have too. But
yeah.
But you eat it one piece at a time, and that is basically 12 pieces.
Right.
And so it is usually a much more manageable number to put
a
few hundred dollars away.
But it takes discipline because seriously, sure. I mean, I fall in the boat of, oh my word, it's April 12th. What's my maximum I can contribute? And then I try and scrounge around and try and find as much as I can.
Sure.
So it's not, I'm not saying that this is easy to do, and I'm one of the worst culprits in it. But one thing I do want to say is make sure you keep funding that IRA, and that's one of the best ways to get started.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to probably keep talking a little bit on how to get started, how to lay out the goals when we come back. And again, if you have any questions, if what we're talking about today, if it isn't clear, creates more questions or more confusion, please reach out to us. You can email either of us. You can email Steve directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com, or you can email myself, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com.
AM1170TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM1170 The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170. The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you're enjoying another San Diego weekend. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we're touching a little bit on probably the most common question we get in one form or another is basically, how do I get started? Whether it's for planning out the retirement or just getting started trying to save money for goal setting, whatever that particular item is, how do I get started? We touched on that. It is a common theme. We did, I believe, an entire show based around that on how do I get started in investing in the past. So if you are interested, you hear this, maybe you're listening for the first time, you can go to our website, theportfoliodoctors.com, and access all of our old shows. We have them archived there in a podcast form, so you can download those and listen to any of the old shows. One thing I want to bring up, the most common thing I hear as a goal is, I want to retire. And
right.
we've touched on this a few times. I don't know if anyone's truly looked at the definition, the true definition of retire.
What's it, hell at home?
No.
Oh.
According to dictionary.com, retire is to withdraw or go away.
It sounds like you did.
Well, the reality is I think that's where the name maybe came from, because years ago, when someone retired, they typically didn't live more than a few years past retirement. So I kind of believe that's why it got named retirement, because you were going away.
You were done.
And in our current state of the world, people are living longer. So 55, 60, 65, even 70, if those are retirement ages, there's still a chance you're going to live 20, 30, 40 years past when you go away.
Yeah, I mean, 55. I'm 51. That's I would have four work years.
You're going to retire in a couple more years. Congratulations.
There is no way, and not because I potentially couldn't afford it, because I actually potentially could afford it. But what would I do?
Sure.
I mean, seriously, sit at home? Right. You must be joking. So if I'm not going to sit at home, I want to travel or I want to do stuff. Well, that now requires a bigger nut than what I actually will have. So I would have enough to sit at home and maybe go to the beach every day.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure I could retire today.
Yeah.
I have enough money socked away that I could retire today as long as I didn't live past tomorrow.
And you know what? Tomorrow never comes. So you're in trouble.
Yep.
But so, I mean, seriously, so it gets to that point where it's like, if that's my outlook, is that I've got enough to just sit at home all day, can't have the country club, I can't have, you know, a nice car. Really, I can have a car, but not really a nice one. And I'm limited to the beach, and that's it. And I can't really eat out other than maybe to McDonald's. I mean, forget it. That's not retirement. That's why I said that's hell at home.
That is going away.
That is going away. Right. And that's not my personality at all. So I can't do that. So in other words, that's the first thing. The second thing is, assuming I could do what I wanted to do, right, which is travel around the world and have a lot of fun and do whatever I want to do when I want to do, which is sort of, to me, the ideal retirement is sort of nirvana, right? Who are you going to do it with? Because I can tell you right now, even though I'm married and I love traveling with my wife, she's not going to want to be gone for 8-10 months of the year, because she's going to want to be where our son is. Not that I want to just dump him and run off, but sure. I mean, women are more prone to stick around with their family and that type of thing.
Especially where, their children.
Yeah. So now, yeah, she would probably say, well, I don't want to go on that trip. I'll go with this one with you, but you go. So now what? I'm going to travel on my own. That's no fun, you know, because all my other friends are working.
Right.
So now you're going, well, who do I do all this stuff with? So, I mean, there's all these questions, Mark, that go on, right? So that's why, to me, I'm sort of am already retired in the fact that I do what I love. Because if you do what you love, then it's really not a job every day.
Right, it's not work.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, I sort of am retired. Because if I look at retirement, what would I do? I'd probably invest in another company and be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. So, well, I sort of am retired.
Sure. And that's, we spent a lot of time in the past talking about this topic of, if you're truly doing something you love where it doesn't feel like work, where you wake up and you're excited to go, whether it's to the office or to your job, whatever it is that really work, or is it fun? It's something that you do to help get through your days, but you enjoy doing it. Do you really want to stop doing that at 55 or 60 or 65? And it's different for everyone, and that's why we really try to emphasize the fact that you need to make decisions based on what is important to you, not what's important to anyone else. Well, I'll take that back. Maybe your family can be factored into what's important to you, as in the family,
sure.
But it has nothing to do with your neighbor or what TV says you should do this or that or any media outlet. It should be based entirely on what's most important to you. And
I've got something to think that I think our listeners should really think hard on this. Retirement to me is a mindset, right? So imagine you're working right now and you're not really too happy with your job because you want to retire, okay? And you haven't really thought all this stuff through. Try just going to work tomorrow and telling everyone you'd retired yesterday, okay? They'll look at you like you're a complete nutcase, of course. But what you're really saying to them is, I am enjoying this now. I'm here because I want to be here. Mm-hmm. I've mentally retired. And it takes that whole pressure of retirement off your shoulders. If you say to yourself tonight, I'm actually retired. Today, I'm retired. Even though I'm going to work tomorrow, I'm not going to call it work anymore because I've retired. I tell you what, it makes an entirely different life. Because now you realize it empowers you more because it's like, wow, I retired last night. How cool is this? Now suddenly you don't have to worry so much about pushing so hard and all that. You can take your vacations. It takes all this pressure off you. Because if you've retired yesterday, that means you're going to work. You're not working anymore, which means you, instead of having to try and save for in 3 years' time when you leave, you've suddenly got the rest of your life ahead of you to keep earning your money.
Right.
Just a thought.
Absolutely. And to follow that, probably one of the best ways to visualize is if you could just sit there, close your eyes, and just imagine what retirement means to you.
Yeah.
And almost if you were an artist, I know if I tried to do this, I would draw stick figures and no one would understand what the heck it was, but it would make sense to me. But if you
see a fishing pole in one of their hands.
There's a good chance that would be the case. But if you could use a paintbrush and you could paint a picture that depicted what your retirement looks like, what does that scene look like? Is it up in the mountains? Is it in an airplane? Is it at the beach? Is it surfing? Is it golfing? Is it fishing? What is it? And who's there with you?
Right.
Who is sharing in this retirement with you? Are you alone? Are you with your dog on the beach? Are you with your family, your wife, your kids? What does that look like?
Right.
And I guarantee your picture looks very different than your neighbor's. And you need to understand that and build based on what that picture looks like.
It's funny. A friend of mine did that with his wife. They drew pictures of their retirement, and his picture was this big boat, yacht, a sailing boat in the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. and her picture was their house with two houses next to it, one for each of her kids. So that you go, I mean, it's like so different.
And it is a great exercise to do with your spouse,
just
for that reason, because you might think that you're on the same page.
Not even
And
close.
Then you do an exercise like that, and then... So, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, there's some differences here. And then you learn a lot about each other that you thought you knew everything.
Well, he's sitting in the med on his yard and she's still in the same
okay.
island.
It could backfire, but it is a very good exercise, definitely for yourself,
right?
To really visualize and feel what is that like? What does the air feel like? Do you feel an ocean breeze? Do you feel a crisp snow-covered mountain because you love skiing?
What is
retirement?
You can't feel trapped. You've got to untrap yourself.
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about here. Whether you're working and whether you can actually afford to retire tomorrow or not, if you are retired but you're still working, you're not working, you're now enjoying yourself.
Correct.
And it's just such, I mean, it's such a great way to look at things because it takes so much stress off. You know, I mean, really, it's that pressure point of, oh, my word, 55's coming. I'm not even close. I haven't saved anything up. You know, one way to remove that is not just to keep working, but you are retired in your brain.
Work with a different mindset.
Correct.
And that is, like you said, the weight just falls off your shoulders and it allows you to really enjoy your work.
Now you're suddenly having fun again.
The menial task that used to just annoy you becomes kind of a humorous, entertaining event during your day now.
Exactly.
Because by doing that, it's allowing you to enjoy your retirement.
Correct. And suddenly you can enjoy that vacation you wanted because it's like, I'm not going to be retired in 3 years. I'm retiring in 10 or 15 years.
Right.
So I can. The thing is to enjoy your life now, not wait for this magic thing of retirement that maybe never shows up. And when it does, all you can afford to eat is ramen noodles every day.
Right.
I mean...
And not to mention, you hear so many stories of people that work, high stress.
Yeah, heart attack.
Keeled over at their office at 9 o'clock at night.
I know.
When their family was at home.
But that's not life.
No, that's not enjoyable for anyone. But again, if anything we talk about interests you or poses some questions, creates confusion, please reach out to us. We will do our best to answer your questions, or even build another show to help answer that question. In a better manner. You can email either of us directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. So retirement, we've been talking about that. When we come back, are you ready for retirement? we'll give you a way to determine that. Start your engines. You listen to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170. The Answer.
All right, welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. I am Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we've kind of followed a path all day.
We jumped straight from starting your retirement to retiring.
To retiring.
Yeah, there's no middle ground with us.
No.
We begin and we end.
We start with the end in mind.
That's right.
So we just tease with the start and we go right to the end.
That's right.
It's the best way.
Or so we think anyway.
Yes, exactly.
We like to amuse ourselves.
Right. I pose a question. Retirement, what does it look like? Are you prepared for retirement? And it's an interesting event. It's a phenomenon that there is a huge mental shift that needs to occur.
Yeah, I can't do it.
If you choose to retire and then plan to just do something else, if you're enjoying your work and you're just going to continue to work until it starts to become work, but right now you're enjoying it, then that's a different scenario because you're still going to be working, still making money. Retirement shapes up a little differently that way. But if you're planning on, okay, at age 65, I'm retiring, I'm no longer going to go to work, I'm going to go home, I have plans, I have things I want to do. I want to go fishing, I want to go golfing, I want to go hiking, I want to go camping, traveling, you name it. I was speaking with a former financial advisor just this morning, actually, and I knew that she had positioned herself to retire, and I hadn't seen her in about 6 months, and I asked her, how's retirement going, or how's the transition to it? And this is someone who did financial advising for a living, so you would think she would have the ability to make this transition pretty smoothly because she's been advising people on how to do it. And her first comment was, it's nice, but I still am not comfortable with not having anything to do. I need to have, because she was so used to going to the office and working and doing these things, and not necessarily punching a time clock, but having this list of items to be doing for her job. And there is a mental transition that takes place. I got to see this with my dad, who he was looking forward to retirement for years and years and years. He finally got in the position where he could retire. And even to this day, and he's been retired for, I think, close to 10 years now, even to this day, he still, in the back of his mind, has to have things that he has to have to do. Mm. Which goes to what we've talked about. Unless you have something to do, everybody's got a different personality. Some people may enjoy just sitting on a couch all day, watch TV, whatever it is, or just being a homebody, where other people are going to want to get out and go and do things, like you've talked about yourself, Steve. And I watched my dad, the first time I saw him kind of get comfortable with being retired, it was about 2 years after he officially retired, before he finally got comfortable with the fact that I don't have to get up. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to report to anyone. I don't have to do this. So it took a couple of years. And that is a big mental transition that even though you think you have it, there's still a change because you're used to going and doing something. And now what you've been doing and all the money you've been saving, now that money that you've been saving now has to turn around and start paying you, where you've been socking money away your whole career.
Right.
And so it there is a mental shift that needs to take place before it gets comfortable. And that's really difficult for a lot of people. So that's why you need to really visualize it and get comfortable with the idea that retirement is going to be me up on a mountaintop and money going into a bank account to fund me being on the mountaintop or whatever it is.
Yeah, I couldn't. I just can't visualize myself sitting at home.
No.
I just can't do it. I mean, and then if I think about it, it's like, okay, so now let's assume I keep going and I'm 80 now. Well, I can't. I mean, maybe I still will be able to do some surfing and stuff, but that's what I like to do. And how long could I surf at 80? If I maybe 30 minutes and I'd be finished.
You have to get a thicker wetsuit.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, it's one of those things where everything that you love to do now, you probably can't do. It's slowly just being taken away from you through the aging process. And so the thought of just watching those things just fall aside one by one, no thanks. I'd rather just keep doing what I'm doing.
Sure.
You know? Hopefully just work less. I think for me it would be working, 20, 30 hours a week instead of 60, 70 hours a week, you know?
Correct. Just downsize. Give your brain the ability to keep functioning and do something a few hours a week.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's a couple hours here, a couple hours there, but something to keep the gray matter functioning.
Yep.
And that will allow you to continue to enjoy life as long as you can.
No, agreed.
An interesting exercise that I think is possible. This is something new that I just read an article about that I thought was really a pretty interesting concept, which I could see a lot of value to this. Most people, especially the workaholic types, they never take vacations. They never take sick days. So you've got all this time built up. And if you're thinking, I want to retire, why not take a lot of that time that's built up and use it just as a trial retirement? So whether it's a month, 2 months, 2 weeks might be a little short.
2 months is... Yeah, all right.
Two months would be good. 1 month for sure would be enough to get a feel for what retirement could be if you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key. You've got to live on what you would actually be able to afford at retirement, A. And B, you've got to basically stay at home.
Well,
you can't jump on an aircraft and go travel around the world for 2 months. I mean, that's going to zip right by and you're going to go, oh, goodness, do I have to go back to work? I should retire tomorrow. So you have to have it as realistic as possible, right?
Sure. And it would be, you want to have a clear-cut expense budget.
Right.
And see if that's enough for what you're going to do, what you've pictured retirement being. And if it is traveling, then maybe you create a big expense budget. And if you know that you have enough money to supply that amount of income, and maybe traveling.
It depends how you travel.
Sure, but that's why I'm saying this is a great way to do a trial retirement and see. Okay, I'm earmarking $10,000 a month for expenses for retirement, and I'm 2 weeks in, and guess what? I just ran out of money because I'm off in Europe. Okay, suddenly that's changing your plans because you're potentially going
to
spend twice as much as what you think. Right? And just travel up and down the coast.
Yeah, to the motorhome.
You can park them on side streets and
stay
for free. Oh,
man, alive. Yeah, but, and $10,000 a month, most people would be ecstatic with $10,000 a month, to be honest. Most people are trying to retire on $3,000, $4,000 a month. And that isn't the trip to Europe. That's sit at home, go to the movies and, pay your mortgage and maybe go out to eat once a week.
Sure.
You know, That suddenly means the whole, that's the lifestyle that to me is like a prison, and I can't take that. I've got to do something. I might as well keep working if that. But to some people, and I've got a sister-in-law, she's retired now, and I don't think she's retiring on more than $2,000 or $3,000 a month. She's fine with it. She loves it. I mean, that's her whole thing. All she wants to do is pot around her house and maybe go to the grocery store and see her grandkids, and that's her life. And she's
garden or whatever.
Yeah. She's happy.
And again, that goes right back to what we try to emphasize. It is specific to you.
Correct. Don't make my goals yours.
Correct. Everybody's different. Sure, having $100,000 a month disposable income would be great, but...
That would be odd.
But right, that would be very difficult to achieve, let alone, what are you going to spend $100,000?
You're blowing $1.2 million a year.
Sure, but
you need a portfolio of like $500 million to handle that.
That wouldn't be bad, I guess.
Yeah.
But just to get that point across, is everybody has different goals. Everybody is comfortable with different activities in different levels of activity. Like you're saying, you want to be active. You want to still be going out, surfing, golfing, whatever the different activities you want to do. Which maybe the guy next door has no interest in any of those things.
Right.
He's perfectly happy getting up in the morning, taking his dog for a walk, going out in the backyard, gardening for a couple hours, in the heat of the day, go back inside and get in the shade. And
have a nap.
There's nothing wrong with that. That is, if you're comfortable with
that's
that.
That's what you want, sure.
And we're not trying to pass any judgment of any type on anyone, because everybody is different. And you need to plan specifically to what you're trying to achieve.
But the one thing, though, in all of this is that while you might be able to afford what you want today, that inflation is going to constantly start biting into your spending abilities. So that's the one downfall for that two-month trial thing. You need to make certain that you've sat down with a proper financial planner to sit down and go, if inflation does this and your portfolio does that,
sure,
all bets are off. So don't cut it too close.
Oh, exactly. You don't want to
say,
okay,
net.
If I really stretch it, I can get $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
But unless things go perfectly, I'll have a hard time getting $7,500. Don't plan for 10.
Yeah. Don't plan expect to die of that heart attack exactly at 89 and a half and not have any complications. You know what I'm saying? Sure. It's like you've got to be realistic about this stuff.
Right. And that goes to the importance of creating a significant, well-thought-out financial plan.
Correct.
And then revisiting it regularly. Well, that just about does it today. Hopefully, we added some value to everyone today. Again, if you want to reach out to us, if you have any questions or anything we talked about today, we are always available. Steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or Dan@theportfoliodoctors.com.
And I hope everyone out there enjoys their retirement that started today.
That's right. It started today. So Monday morning.
You're all retired.
Everybody's retired. We expect to hear San Diego highest percentage of retired people in the nation.
That's right.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego. The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.